Our scripture this morning comes from the second chapter of Genesis, and I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. On the day the Lord God made earth and sky, before any wild plants appeared on the earth, and before any field crops grew, because the Lord God hadn't yet sent rain on the earth, and there was still no human being to farm the fertile land, though a stream rose from the earth and watered all the fertile land, the Lord God formed the human from the topsoil of the fertile land, blew his life's breath into his nostrils. The human came to life. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and put there the human he had formed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
She told me that cleanliness was next to godliness. Did y'all's mamas ever tell you that? I never believed her. I knew from the very beginning that was a lie, because I always had a lot more fun when I was dirty than when I was clean. And I found it humorous over the last couple weeks that the first sermon that y'all asked for me to preach here was during your series about dirty, rotten scoundrels. I let that one go. But the second sermon that y'all want me to preach after coming back from training is about getting dirty. I'm beginning to see a trend. Beginning to wonder what y'all think about me. As many of y'all know, I had the opportunity over the last couple weeks to take my unit up to Fort McCoy and to do some training with them and with several other units from all over the United States in the Army Reserve. We had about 800 soldiers that were up at Fort McCoy. Out of different companies that were underneath my battalion, we had soldiers from New York City, we had soldiers from Seattle, we had soldiers from Oklahoma, we had soldiers from here in Birmingham and Anniston and Huntsville, and we had soldiers from all over the place, and getting to know them and to experience the training that they got to do over the last couple weeks was just phenomenal. And so it's funny that I get to preach a sermon about getting dirty, because this is probably the cleanest I've been in about 2 weeks. And it was fun to experience the different training and the different exercises that my soldiers got to go through. And the one thing that was always funny is it's never the dirty soldiers that you need to worry about, right? It's always the clean soldiers that you need to worry about, because something hasn't gone right here. Something has sort of gone off the rails. And I had several different companies that got to do some just great training out in the fields. They got to kick indoors and jump out of helicopters and do all the great things that people join the Army to do. But every now and again, as I was making my rounds to different training areas in the different buildings, I would come across a soldier that was far too clean to be in the Army. And I would ask him, "What's going on here?" And have any of y'all, are there any service members, are there any people that have been in the military in here? Okay, yeah, a good number of y'all. Some of y'all know that every job that you're given in the military is not an exciting job. You don't always get the really good hua hua, jump out of airplanes and dig through dirt kind of jobs. Every now and again, especially if you're a private or private first class or a specialist, you get the jobs that nobody else wants to do. And every now and again, I would come across one of these soldiers that was told to just stand right here and watch that door. Your tax money at work. And they would tell that soldier that if anybody walks in that door that has a bird or a star on their chest, let someone know. Shout it out, bring the room or the building to attention so that we know that someone's coming through the door. And that was their job for 8 hours a day, to stand there in that spot. Now, every now and again, they would mix it up and they would give that soldier a form to hold. And every now and again, that soldier had to get people's signatures if they were supposed to go to a different room or if somebody was coming to sign out an MRE or different gear, and they would have to sign for it, and that soldier was then just told to stand there and hold the form, and then people would sign it. So really not that exciting of a job. And it's the soldiers, like I said, that are clean that you begin to sort of see the morale sort of starting to decline. And as far as morale goes, that's sort of where the chaplain comes in. That's sort of our wheelhouse. That's what we do to help the commander. That's what we do to help the soldiers, is we keep an eye on morale, and we try to find different and creative ways that we can lift up the morale. And so I would find these different soldiers, and what I would tell them was, what you need to do is you need to go to your first sergeant and just tell them that you need to go talk to the chaplain. This is code word for, I'm going to try to get you out of work for a couple hours. Because no good first sergeant is usually going to tell a soldier that they can't go talk to the chaplain. And so what I would tell the soldier to do is maybe about 08 or 8 o'clock, or maybe about 10:00 or 10 o'clock, I said, meet me over in the motor pool. You'll see my truck. It's the dirty one. Because the chaplain, we're the ones that get to sort of take off on our own, and we get to kind of see all the different units and all the different training. So my truck was the one that had all the mud and the dirt and the trees stuck underneath it and stuff like that. We got to do the really fun stuff. So I would have these different soldiers that really hadn't had that much fun during the training, hadn't really experienced that much, hadn't really gotten very dirty. And I would meet them at the motor pool, and I would sort of shovel them into the back of the Humvee. My sergeant would jump in behind the wheel. I would jump in on the passenger seat, and we would just kind of take off. And we would pass by rifle ranges. We would pass by airborne drop zones. We would pass by medevac helicopters doing their training. We would pass by soldiers kicking in doors and doing convoys. And we would see all the different things that soldiers were doing. And we would stop way out in the middle of nowhere where nobody else was around at the end of this trail right in front of this creek, this maybe 15-foot, 20-foot wide creek that was crossing and it had flooded the path. And we would get out, and me and my sergeant, we wouldn't even say anything. We would just kind of come to the back of the truck and we would open up the doors. And these privates or these specialists would kind of pile out, and they would have their helmets on and everything. And they'd say, what are we doing? And I said, well, it's your turn to drive. And so they would get in and they would start up the Humvee and they'd say, well, where are we supposed to drive? And I said, through the water. I said, make it to the other side of the water. And they said, well, are we going to get stuck? And I said, that really depends a lot upon you. And then my sergeant would chime in from the back seat, as long as you floor it, you should be fine. And these privates and these specialists got to, for a moment, get behind one of these million-dollar vehicles. My truck's not worth $1 million. It's really not. My truck's really not all that fancy. But they would get behind these really expensive Army vehicles, and they would get to make it do what Army vehicles are made to do. And they would tear through those rivers and those creeks, and they would knock over bushes and trees, and we would tear over tank trails, and we would knock over trees that were real small, and we would do all the things that they thought they were going to be able to get to do when they came and they joined the Army. And for a moment, it was amazing that as they got to sort of tear through the mud, they got to dirty up the truck, they got to spray themselves with water in the face, they got to get mud sprayed on them. For a moment, they were so filled with joy that they laughed like a little kid. And they remembered why it was that they joined the Army to begin with. And they didn't join the Army to stay clean. They joined the Army to get dirty. In our scripture reading this morning, there's a lot of power in this idea of getting dirty and remembering where you came from and what it means to get dirty again. In our scripture reading this morning, we hear the second account of creation that comes from Genesis chapter 2. And in this account, we have this very intimate image of God and how God works and moves in the world. Now, y'all are probably a little bit more familiar with the first story of creation in Genesis. And it starts off with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void and without shape. And God's Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. And God spoke and said, let there be light. We have this image of God as this very cosmic, very all-powerful, distant being that can speak the very space and matter of time and existence into form and shape. That out of the chaos of the deep and the formless void of space, God can create an idea and a purpose and a relationship and bring order out of chaos. In this second account of creation that begins in the fourth verse of chapter 2, we have another perspective of God. We have a God who is so close and so intimate that his very breath fills our bodies. We have this image of a God, just like what you heard during the children's moment, that gets down into the dirt, that kneels down and gets dirty as well. I like to call it the dirty fingernail God, as he scrapes together the mud and the dust to form a shape. To form an idea. And that idea was each and every one of us. A relationship that had purpose and identity that began in the dirt that was shaped and held by the very hands of God as he breathed into us and brought us to life and then called us good, even when we were dirty. Now, I got to read this scripture with my soldiers over the last couple weeks because I knew I was going to be preaching it here when I got back. And so I wanted to sort of share this experience with them as I brought together what we are experiencing as a congregation here in Alabaster and then what we could do to minister to the 500 to 800 soldiers that we had over the past couple weeks. And as we read this story about getting dirty and getting down in the dirt and God's fingernails sort of shaping us and forming us, we began to kind of ask stories. And I asked them, what's the dirtiest that they've ever been in their lives? And they told stories about being out in the desert without a shower for 14 to 21 days. I heard a story this morning about a soldier in Vietnam that went 21 days without a shower until they found a waterfall out in the middle of the jungle. They told stories about basic training where they were told to low crawl under barbed wire and fences and trenches while there was 50 cal machine gun going over their head. That was my experience as well, and let me tell you, it was awesome. It was awesome. Because what happens when we were thinking about this is as they were telling these stories, they began to do something. They began to smile. And they began to laugh, and they began to chuckle, and they began to remember those experiences which might have seemed really dirty and really difficult at the time, but they were sharing it with all of their friends and all their buddies, and they were remembering what it meant like to get dirty together and to share that experience together. And so some of the questions I asked them, I'm interested in hearing your stories as well. When you were a child, what was the dirtiest, what did you do to get dirty? What are the things that you did as a kid to get dirty? What did you do?
Climb trees.
Playing in the mud. What are some others?
Dug a hole.
I like it. Played in the chicken coop. All right. Very dirty. All right. Learning about each other. Okay. What are some other things y'all did to get dirty? Crawling under your house to dig for buried treasure. All right. Anybody else ever dig for buried treasure? Yeah. See, that's why y'all are never going to find it, and we're going to find it. Y'all aren't looking for it. When we think about these things that we do together, did y'all ever have like a swimming hole or something like that? We had this ditch that went behind our house when we lived outside Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And just about every other day, Fort Leonard Wood, y'all, I saw y'all give a little nod. Every other day, this was just a dirty ditch. But on days that it rained, it made the most country swimming pool you could ever imagine. And it was awesome because it would flood up to the top, and we kids, we would jump in and we would swim around, and we would get in this dirty, muddy, kind of yucky water that was just sort of rushing past, and we would get dirt and clay in our hair and our ears. It would be in your mouth. You'd be chewing food and you would still taste it like a week later, and you would get dust everywhere. But again, it was awesome. It was great because you were always doing it with someone else. Who were some of the people that y'all were with when y'all were getting dirty, climbing under trees and digging for buried treasure? Who were some of the people that y'all were with? Sisters? Best friends? I always got dirty with my pets. My dog was always really dirty as well. She would always kind of come along. So then you'd get mom mad because you ruined your good clothes and you got the dog dirty. Did y'all ever roll down hills? I think in the 10 o'clock service, we had a young lady that was talking about rolling down hills. Because grass stains, I used to get whooped for grass stains because you always do it in your nice clothes that you're not supposed to do it in. But the thing about it is you would get these scrapes and these bruises. You would get these bloody elbows and these bloody knees. You'd get grass stains and dirt stains and mud stains. You'd get dirt in your ears and behind your ears and in your hair. And everything about you would be dirty, but you had so much fun. Because for a moment, with your best friends or your brothers and your sisters, you were creating a world that was better than any other world you'd had. You were creating a world in which nobody cared what it was and what you looked like. You were creating a world in which nobody cared what you were wearing. You were creating a world that was different than what you had when you went back home, because for a moment you were only concerned with enjoying life and getting into the moment and the dirt in which you found yourselves. And it was amazing. And for a moment, even as kids, we got to experience at those times what it was like to do the things that God does when he reaches down into the dirt and creates something good, something beautiful, and something better. Because each and every one of us, if we're still a child, if we're still in school, if we're grown up and an adult, we all have these dirty areas of our lives. And they're usually the areas that we try to avoid and we try to shake off. And they're the areas of our lives that give us the pause and the separation from God. Because it's almost like in the church or in righteousness, we feel like if we're dirty that we need to withdraw and isolate from others that are around us. When the reality is God has called us and made us out of the dirt and called us to be dirty. And he reaches down and he has pulled us out of whatever dirt that he has found us in and has blown new life into us to rejuvenate us, but then puts us and send us back out into a dirty world. Now, when we talk about dirt in spiritual terms, it's a little bit different than talking about sin. Because sin is those things in our lives that stain us, that carry with us, that separate us from a life with God and a life for others. And those are stains and those are things that we carry with us that God can wash clean and bring us into a new life of righteousness. So righteousness is different than cleanliness. Because cleanliness is our willingness to do those things that we used to do with our best friends and our brothers and sisters and our dogs when we swam in ditches and we climbed under the houses and we climbed up into trees and we got grass stains and bloody elbows. Because we're not concerned about the cleanliness of our lives when we begin to walk alongside others in this life that have dirty situations, that have dirt and mud in their lives that stop them up, that stick them to the ground, and they can't seem to find a way out. God calls us to go forth and to be those signs of hope and of joy in this world that are willing to walk alongside others that are going through dirty times in their lives, that feel like they're separated from God, and yet we can walk alongside them in their lives to be a sign of hope and of joy, that there's nothing in this life that we can ever have, no amount of dirt or mud that will separate us from the love of God. And we walk alongside them. And we show them that the righteousness of God can penetrate any amount of dirt that we have in our lives because our God will get down into the dirt with us. See, Jesus calls us to go forth into this world. He sends us out. And just like the first moments of creation where it said that God formed us from the dust and the dirt of the ground, the very next thing that he did was he gave us a purpose and a place and he planted us into a garden to be a sign and a symbol of his hope and his kingdom and his world to the rest of creation. And so if we wonder how it is that we can walk alongside others in their lives, take for a moment and think about the parts of your life that God has delivered you from. What were the parts of your lives that used to be dirty and dusty and murky? What were the parts of your lives that God needed to lift you up, to brush you off, to breathe new life into you, and to make you new again? Because those parts of your lives that might have been dirty may very well be the very way that God is calling you to go and to minister to others as well. To minister to others who are going through those similar circumstances that you used to experience, so that you can be a sign of transportation and hope that God can save us all. That if God can reach us, he can reach others as well. And we can go outside these doors into the community, into a dirty world that's filled with dirty headlines and muddy and murky speeches and elections, and we can be a sign of hope, of joy, even when the world feels so dusty and so dirty. Because we are about the work of creation that God started even at the very beginning. And we walk alongside those that still feel dirty so that they may experience a better world and a new world. Because when we were kids and we were creating those new worlds, when our imaginations were swirling and nothing could be better and nothing could sort of separate us from that moment, we were creating a new world, if only for a moment. And so God sends us to do the very same thing, to create that new world, to create the kingdom of God. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, out of this dirtiness of the world, you have lifted us up. You have given us a new life, a new hope, and a new purpose. Out of the shapeless void that you've crafted us, out of the dustiness that you have brushed off of us, you have breathed new life into us and planted us in this world. Lord, you have put us in jobs and relationships and communities to be a sign of hope to the world, that others that may feel so dirty and mucky and mud down, that we can walk alongside them to show them, Lord, that the love of God penetrates any amount of dirt that we have in this life, and we can lift up through the dirt a new and a better world. That even when we were kids, we get to experience the joy and the hope that comes with imagination of a world that is to come. Allow us to help build that world here today out of the dust in which you've placed us. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.